straight into the word. Number 17, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and get from them staffs, one for each father's house, from all their chiefs according to their father's house, 12 staffs. Write each man's name on his staff and write Aaron's name on the staff of Levi. For there shall be one staff for the head of each father's house. Then you shall deposit them in the tent of meeting before the testimony, where I meet with you, and the staff of the man whom I choose shall sprout. Thus I will make to cease from me the grumblings of the people of Israel, which they grumble against you." Moses spoke to the people of Israel, and all their chiefs gave him staffs, one for each chief, according to their father's house, 12 staffs, and the staff of Aaron was among their staffs. And Moses deposited the staffs before the Lord in the tent of his testimony. On the next day, Moses went into the tent of testimony, and behold, the staff of Aaron for the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds and produced blossoms, and it bore ripe almonds. Then Moses brought out all the staffs from before the Lord to all the people of Israel, and they looked, and each man took his staff. And the Lord said to Moses, "Put back the staff of Aaron before the testimony, to be kept as a sign for the rebels, that you may make an end of their grumbling against me, lest they die." Thus did Moses as the Lord commanded him, so he did. Now also, if you turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Verse 1. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Okay, just want to pick up where we left off last week. Paul was equating our worship as presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, and that we didn't die once, but we died instead. Paul said, "I die daily." So part of the Christian life is to be a living sacrifice and to die daily. And we talked about the joy of surrender, because dying daily is surrendering daily. And I said, what does it mean to surrender? And we talked about total surrender. So I need to surrender my life, my dreams, my family, my rights, my money and resources, my heart, my time, my relationships, my sinful passions and desires, my heart, my choice, my pride, my worries and fears, and my will. So quite comprehensive. I know I can add things to it because I took things out of my list. Luke 22 then says, "And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.'" So Jesus shows us that to be a sacrifice involves not my will, but God's will. To be a living sacrifice is not to live for myself, but to live for the will of God every day of my life. So I die daily to self and I live to God every day. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain, because I go to glory." And we were looking at these thoughts, and we started with the scripture in Romans. And there's three things in Romans I just want to talk about. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice." We spoke about that last week. "Holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Then it said, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So the second thing it says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So be changed by the renewal of your mind. And the third thing is this, so that you may discern what is the will of God. So for me to discern the will of God, I need to be transformed. So now think about it like a circle. a little bit. Like, I start by giving my life to Jesus and I sacrifice myself here. Somebody says, give your heart to Jesus, repent from your sins, trust in him. And so that's what you come forward, you give your heart to Jesus. And then I start to read the Bible and it starts to transform me and change the way I think. Then as I change the way I think, I realize what the will of God is for me. And that brings me back to the top of the circle, which is sacrifice again. So I sacrifice more. And as I sacrifice more, my mind is transformed as God speaks to me. And then I discern the will of God even more for my life. Then I sacrifice more. So what's happening is a continuous circle of sacrifice, transformation, revelation, sacrifice, transformation, revelation, sacrifice, transformation, revelation. So as God transforms the way I think, I change. As I change, I start to see the will of God for my life more clearly. And I start to sacrifice my will for his will. This is not more information. If you want information, go to Wikipedia. It's not all true, but there's a lot of information on Wikipedia. If you want revelation, you go to the Word of God by the Spirit of God who speaks to me. And as revelation comes, it changes my heart to be transformed. And as I change, when I discern the will of God, I realize that I've got to lay my life down and be a sacrifice for him. God needs to transform us by changing the way we think and believe in our hearts. Do you know, if you read the papers, there's not a lot of good news in the papers, is there? For our country, you know. It's just like, what a mess. What a complete mess. You have the Brexit mess. You have the Labour Party mess. You have the Tory Party mess. You have the Brexit Party mess. What a mess. What's going to happen? Where are we going to go? And I can start thinking along those terms. And think I'm helpless and I can't do anything. But that is not true. It's a lie. If I change the way I think about things and suddenly you don't become a victim of what's happening in Westminster, you become a child in the will of God. He goes before me and behind me, trusting Jesus. So, I thought what I'm going to do, I'm going to give two new thoughts today, okay? Now, I'll give you information. This is what the Bible says. And I'm going to teach you how to turn information into revelation. And that'll change who you are. And then as you change, God will reveal more of his will to you. And you'll find new opportunities to sacrifice. But we're just going to give you... So new thought one. The prayer of a righteous person has great power in its working. Turn to James chapter 5. There you go, I found it. James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. So here's something. It's like the prayers, the effective prayers of a righteous person achieves much. You might have to go back a step and say, are you righteous? Are you righteous? Are you in right standing with God through Christ Jesus? Now, here's the thing is, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are in right standing. Because the Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin, so I could become the righteousness of God. So I stand before God, not as a sinner in need of mercy, but righteous. imputed to me by Christ through faith. So when I come to God, it says the prayers of a righteous person. Do you notice I didn't say perfect person? Oh my goodness. If you could be a fly on the wall in my house. If you could take my children privately and say, well, what's he like really? One thing they will tell you is he's not perfect. Perfection comes from Christ. But I'm righteous. So the righteous prayers, or the prayers of a righteous man, can achieve much in their working. And then we have an example. Elijah. He goes up to the king. Be like me saying, Pete, we're going to go on a road trip in a few weeks. We're going to go and see Boris or Jeremy. We don't know which Jeremy it could be, but, you know. And knocking on the door of Downing Street and saying, it's not going to rain in Great Britain until I say so. And then coming back to Wales. You know, I don't think we get past security at the gate that gets into Downing Street. But this is how crazy the thing was. Is Elijah the prophet said, it's not going to rain until I say. And he prayed. And it stopped raining. And 3.5 years later, he turns up again. And he prays again, the Bible says. And the heavens empty their load. Prayer is powerful. Jesus teaches them a prayer that they ought to pray always and not lose heart. And too many Christians lose heart. And the reason you lose heart is because you think in your heart that your prayers don't change anything. Prayer is powerful. Prayer makes a difference. God hears my prayers. Amen? When my mind is renewed, it transforms me and helps me discern the will of God. I borrowed my mum's car because of, I don't know if you knew, our car was written off by my nemesis or what have you, and crashing into it. And so my mum graciously gave me her car to borrow until the end of term. And it's a little white, I don't even know what it is, Pouton or Proton or something. It's white and small, and I'm not car proud. I'm not car proud. I really am. Until I was down the gym reaching out to a former Welsh international, sort of in the, you know, I'm just trying to reach out to him, befriend him, and then we both leave the gym together. And I turn this way to this little white car that, you know, he wouldn't even fit in. And he turns this way to his big black, whatever, 2-year-old, whatever vehicle. And I laughed at myself because I was kind of embarrassed, you know, and I don't get embarrassed by cars, but I did. And that's not why I said that. But the car's important. Because in her car, there's this CD, and it's like instrumental hymns. So I'm playing instrumental hymns as I'm driving and everything. And I start playing My Jesus, I Love Thee. I don't know if you know that hymn. I can't sing it to you, but I can read the words. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. And so I'm singing this hymn. And I start to cry. Because it's got power in it. It's written by a 15-year-old boy. After his conversion, he writes a poem, sends it to his auntie. he's in Montreal, sends it to his auntie in California, and then it's put to music at some later date. How fantastic that hymn is. And here, as I encounter Jesus, it transforms me. And I encounter him through his word. You know, how beautiful is this? I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. How beautiful is that? This is the word of God, and it changes us. It changed a 15-year-old boy, and he wrote a poem that changed the world. You could be that 15, well, I don't know how old you are, but you could be that person by revelation of the word of God changing the world. You can change the world with your prayers, and you can change the world with your words. Change the way you think, your life will change. You'll be able to discern the will of God. New thought number two. Philippians 4, verse 13. Philippians 4, verse 13. It says this: I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In my office, I have a little, if you like, it's not marble, but it's made of some sort of stone just on my office. I'm not sure where it came from. I can't remember now. But it just says this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And here's the truth is you can through the strength that Christ gives you. You can't do it in your own strength. You can do some things in your own strength. But nothing is impossible for you through Christ who strengthens you. That means we can be a can person. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. We can reach this nation. We can change Wild Mill. We can with the strength of Christ. You know, so when we talk about that, lay down your life as a living sacrifice. You know, I went through that big list last week. You might have gone away and said, oh, I could never do that. I could never be that fanatical. I remember when I was 19 years old, my dad said to me this. He said, son, it's okay to have your religion, but don't get fanatical. Let me tell you this, it doesn't work unless you get fanatical. We've got to be fanatically in love with Jesus. But I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do it, Julie. You can do it. And so when I say surrender all, and you're thinking, wow, that list is really, really long. I can't do this. You're probably right. You can't do it in your strength. But you can do it in Jesus' strength. And it's like a wave of love. Whoosh, there you go. It's like I give everything to Jesus when he hits me with his love. You can do it. You can fulfill the will of God for your life. You can live in godliness. You don't have to be a slave to sin. You can be fruitful. You can prosper. You don't have to be in debt all your life. You can be blessed. You are blessed through Christ. We are heirs of a covenant, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. But we can do everything he calls us to do through his strength. Oh, you can't do it in your own strength. You can do some things. Do you know the whole Jewish nation tried to fulfill the law in their own strength, and they all failed, all but one. And that was Jesus. You can be victorious. You can walk by faith. You can lay down your life for your wife, husbands. You can do it. You can do it. I tell myself that. I can do this through Christ's strength. You can be a living sacrifice. You can, you can, you can. We've got to change the way I think. You can, Sue. You can, Andrew. You can. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can. You can. Through Christ, you can. You know, it's through Christ you can. We're not bigging anybody up here. You know, we're not big. I just caught, you know, Rob over there, you know, he can. We're all walking miracles. But it's through the strength of Christ. We have no losers here, only winners. We only lose when we stop drawing strength from Christ. I can do everything God's called me to do. That will of God is not beyond you through his strength. It's beyond you because God wants to stretch us beyond ourselves. God wants to do the supernatural through us. But he gives us the power to do it, so you can. You can, you can, you can. And I can too. In Christ. And if we ever forget that in Christ, we're in trouble. Do you know, a few years ago, I don't know how many years ago, maybe seven, six, and most of you know this story, but I'm going to put some flesh on it. I went upstairs. It's the afternoon. We'd just done some meeting here. I don't think it was Sunday, but I think it was a Saturday. We're doing some sort of conference. I went upstairs. And I put the duvet over my head, I closed the curtains, and I didn't quite say, God, I want to die, but I felt like it, you know. Have you ever done that? Okay, who's put the duvet over the head? Should we have a, you know, confession time? There's a few of us, you know. Okay, so I put the duvet over my head, and I was sitting there feeling sorry for myself for maybe about 5 minutes. 5 minutes. And then as I'm feeling sorry for myself, I feel like God say to me, what are you doing here, son? Your rod will bud. What are you doing here, son? Your rod will bud. And I thought to myself, what am I doing here? And I thought, I've been a bit of a fool feeling sorry for myself. I mean, there was a lot of stuff happening in my life at that time. So I got up, got changed, and went downstairs. The next day, our tree outside our front house came into bloom and blossom. It's just like remarkable. And I just felt God say, our rod will bud. And I've never let go of that word. And I believe our rod will bud. So if we turn to Numbers 17. And I want to speak prophetically to the church today. But we'll start here. Moses says, take a rod from each of the tribes and write their names on it. Now, the rod stands for authority. And what happened was everybody was complaining about Aaron. And they were saying, well, we can do that. And they were just murmur. And it's like the rod stood for authority. And if you think about Moses' rod, that's the thing that turned into a snake and ate the snakes of the sorcerers. That was the rod he lifted up and turned the Nile into a river of blood. That was the rod that brought forth the frogs, the lice, the hail, and the locust. And God used the rod he lifted up to command the Red Sea to part. So when they think about rod, you know, they understand this means authority. So 12 rods went in and they put them in the tent of meeting or the tabernacle. Now, place it in the tabernacle, the meeting place of God, where God meets with man. It's the place of worship. It's the place of sacrifice. The tabernacle was the place of sacrifice. And we're talking about being living sacrifices. And we as a church need to place ourselves in the presence of God. And then the next day, Aaron's rod buds. And the one thing you've got to see here is God chooses people according to his will. God chooses churches according to his will. We as a church have been chosen by God to do great exploits. And I wonder, why has God chosen us? I mean, look around. Have a good look. Look at yourselves. And I can only think it's because we reflect what Paul talks about when God chooses people. He says, consider your calling, brothers and sisters. So we're considering the calling now. Not many of you were wise, according to worldly standards. Not many of you are powerful. Not many of you are of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. So what God does, he chooses weak, foolish, irrelevant people, so nobody can say, look what I've done. Nobody can take his glory. So, you know, I think about this church. We're not wise according to worldly standards. There's a tick. We're not very strong. We're certainly not famous. There's no celebrities amongst us, are there? You know, they haven't knocked my door to say, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. Could I do the 10th series season? No, they didn't come to me. But in fact, we're weak. We're foolish. We're nothing in the world's view. And that's all good. So God says, because these people are people that aren't going to be able to boast, look what we did. We qualify to be chosen. That's really important. I qualify, God. I'm weak. I'm foolish. And I'm not rich or famous. And then God says, but I'm going to change the way you think, because I want the weak to say that I'm strong. And I want the poor to say that I'm rich. I want the foolish to say that we're wise. So we're strong in God, we're rich in God, and we're wise in God. Now, in verse 8, the next day. Turn to your neighbor and say, the next day. Okay, so this is the next day. So we're not pushing into the future all the time. The miracle of God. It's the next day. Moses went into the tent of testimony, and behold, the staff of Aaron for the house of Levi had sprouted, put forth buds, produced blossoms, and it bore ripe almonds. Wow. So our Aaron's rod, but only Aaron's rod, that's important, it sprouts. It puts forth buds. It produces blossoms. It produces ripe almonds. Do you know, that is an incredible miracle. But not only is it a miracle because you have 12 dead sticks, it's a miracle because you have all the seasons at the same time. You have the season of sprouting. You have the season of budding. You have the season of blossoming. And you have the season of ripe almonds all together at the same time. So think about it. It's like it's the cycle of life. God works everything at the same time. We're probably to understand that some parts were in bud, others in blossom, and others had fruited. It's Wenham says this. And it's like fruit from a godly church will come in all different stages. So we're going to see people just start in their faith. We're going to see people come to faith. We're going to see people just start to blossom in faith. And then we're going to see people be ripe in faith. And whereas it might have taken years and years and years and years and years, God wants to do it quickly. All the seasons. So our rod will bud. Now you've heard me say this, so... But I think it's important. I'm holding on to the promise that our rod will bud. Our church will bud. This is a supernatural church and the rod will bud. You are part of a supernatural people and your life will bud. And it's time for our rod to bud. It's time for miracles to break out. It's time to see the Holy Spirit moving in a more powerful way than we've seen recently. Years, and Jesus is working in our midst right now. And what we see right now is we see the top of the iceberg, but 80% of an iceberg is under the surface. So God is working amongst us right now, and we just see little things, and it's coming up. So let me talk to you about what God spoke to me in January. So in January, I went to the States. And I was listening to something on my iPod phone, what have you, on the train up. And it was Duncan Campbell. And Duncan Campbell was saying this. He said for 17 years, he lived in a barren wilderness. And I was listening and I was thinking, in July, I'd have been here 17 years. In July, I start my 18th year as pastor here. And so I thought, that's quite interesting. 17 years of faithfulness, 17 years of doing my best, 17 years of seeing some fruit, but really the church is much the same as when we started 17 years ago. Different faces. You know, I think we're going to have a medal presentation. All those who are still with me from 17 years ago, please stand and we'll cheer you, you know. And, you know, it might only, well, I know it's not just Jane and the children, praise God, because some of you were there when we started. And he starts talking like this. And then he said, at the end of 17 years, he just to paraphrase it, he says to himself, if God doesn't move, he's going to give up. And God moves in his life. He leaves his pastorate and he goes to the faith mission and sees God move incredibly. They have an incredible revival in North of Scotland. And so I was interested in that because I thought, well, is God trying to say to me in the 18th year things are going to change? Then I came back from America. I had a week in America. And I was listening to somebody else preach. And I was watching this documentary. And it was about Chuck Colson. Now, Chuck Colson is founder of Calvary Chapel. Calvary Chapels are all over the world now. And he said this. For 17 years, Chuck Colson was just like struggling to just pastor a small church in California. And then God started to bring all these hippies into his church. This is right at the time of the Jesus movement, and the whole thing exploded. And I felt God say to me this, is the 18th year, everything's going to change. On the witness, I had two witnesses. I have not been able to find that piece since. I can find the first. But it's just like God saying, on the confession of two witnesses, it'll be done. So we move into the 18th year next month. Next month starts tomorrow, and we're going to Wild Mill tomorrow in the 18th year. And I believe God wants to do something in the 18th year and beyond. And so that came at the beginning of the year, and it's just like, this is what's happened since, okay? Without going into any detail, but, you know, it's just like, I've had so much pressure and challenges and reasons to give up and reasons to give in and reasons to settle and all this stuff's going on. And then we have, you know, the guy with the mental health problems starting to harass our family, and we have this happen, and the church, just the people of the church, you know, are going through so many things, and we're fighting cancer on a number of fronts, and you know, the whole thing that we've gone through and the losses we've experienced and all this just for 6 months. Well, for 5 months, it's just been like horrendous. And I felt a bit like Jacob. Because it says of Jacob that he's stripped of everything. And he comes to Gilead. And he wrestles with the man. And he says, I won't let you go till you bless me. I won't let you go till you bless me. I won't let you go till you bless me. And at the end of the period, the sun's rising, and he knocks him in the joint, and he blesses him. And then he says, I call this place, I think, Peniel, because I've seen God face to face. And so all this pressure that the enemy meant for evil for me, that the enemy meant for me to give up, has caused me to be stripped back and go into the face of God. And I'm meeting with God, and I'm crying because of the love of Jesus. Not because of the pressure, not because of the problems, not because of the difficulty, but because of the love of Jesus. And I prophesied by the Holy Ghost, we are stepping into something tomorrow. Now, I appreciate that usually when you prophesy, you put it at some point in the future, but I'm not. I'm putting it tomorrow. This church steps into July, and tomorrow is the 18th year. And the 18th year of my leadership of this church, everything's going to change. By the Holy Ghost, not because we're wise or strong or wonderful, but by the Holy Ghost, we're going to see things change. By the Holy Ghost, we're going to see lives changed. By the Holy Ghost, we're going to see people healed. By the Holy Ghost, we're going to shine in a dark place, and people in darkness will see a great light. So I want to encourage you to start. Let's start to believe God for more than we've ever seen before. You know, those scriptures that God does more than we can think or imagine. I've got a good imagination. And I'm thinking and dreaming. But for 17 years, some of you have struggled with us. For 17 years, you know, I don't even know how you're still with us somehow, you know, because we're just trying to do our best. We're paddling forward. We're saying, but God is saying that the 18th year is coming. Amen. And I have no idea what the symbolism of 18 is in the Bible. I can tell you 12, 7, and 3, but I can't tell you 18. You'll have to look that up for yourself. But what I do know is we enter into something tomorrow. Everything changes. Be a new day, a new time, and a new season for this year. God said it in January to me. I've kept it to myself for 5 months. I've gone through a few things in the last 5 months, and I'm more committed to seeing this place change, this country change, than I ever have been. And I'm not going to let the devil run me out of town. And I'm not going to let the criticism of people run me out of town. And I'm not going to let pressure, circumstances, disappointments, defeats. I've got them all. The scars just tell me how wonderful Jesus is. I have the scars on my body of 17 years of church leadership. And I look at them and I say, Jesus got me through this one. And Jesus got me through that one. And Jesus got me through this one. And he's going to resurrect us into something glorious. And you wonder, why has it been so hard, Alex? It's because the glory is going to be so glorious that no man can boast. Why didn't it happen 17 years ago, Alex? Because we'd have boasted and we'd have missed it and we'd been full of ourselves. But now, in our weakness and in our foolishness, everything changes tomorrow by the Holy Ghost. So I want you to stand with me. We'll have the band. Have you still got time? Okay, I won't keep you, don't worry. I think we should sing Waymaker, because he's been working when we haven't seen it. He's a Waymaker. Let's stand together. I want to pray. I'm going to declare, Father, we just declare by the Holy Ghost that you are with us. We speak change. Not change is coming, but change is here. Father, I receive change as we step out of this year into the next year, Lord. Father, we thank you that you're going to turn our barren wilderness into a glorious place. Father, we thank you that where we have been insignificant, just hanging in there, that you are going to move us to change people's lives. Father, we thank you for the harvest, and we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for all that you've done with us. Father, we bear the scars of having walked with you, and we've remained faithful, Lord. And now, Lord, we thank you for the harvest of our faithfulness in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Yeah.